This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, November 18, 2020. I am Solomos, but thank you guys for joining me here tonight for what I thought was overall a very good episode, actually. Very good episode of Dynamite. All the wrestling was very good. I really enjoyed the women's match. Really enjoyed seeing Pac back in action. Not an overly eventful show aside, I would say, from the ending. They did save a big show-closing angle for the very end. But overall, I thought a very strong episode that was carried mostly by the work we saw in the ring tonight. Hope everybody is having a great Wednesday. We are only a week away from Thanksgiving. I think I'll be with you for Thanksgiving Eve next week as well. Join me live. I'm going to be back on YouTube again tomorrow night. I'm going to be back at 8 p.m. Eastern tomorrow for my Survivor Series predictions. I'm going to be running down the full card, predictions, the final farewell for The Undertaker, thoughts from Raw Monday night, Drew McIntyre regaining the WWE Championship. What will happen with The Miz and Money in the Bank? All that stuff that all the AEW fans really don't give a shit about, I'll be talking about tomorrow night. So join me at 8 p.m. for all of the Survivor Series predictions. They opened Dynamite tonight with the Dynamite debut of Darius and Dante Martin, 21 and 19 years old, respectively. They are the team known as Top Flight, taking on the Young Bucks. And they had a great video package, right? Just 2 minutes that they took to explain to people who these kids are. Because there was a lot of excitement last week when the match was first announced. Oh, it's going to be the Young Bucks against Top Flight. You got a lot of people who don't know who Top Flight is. And so they took a few minutes to explain who they were. One of them reached out to Matt Jackson on social media just to say, hey, you know, we have some video of our work. You might be interested. Would love to get your feedback. Matt took a look and he was blown away by what he saw. And he said, we got to get these kids. We got to, whether it's sign them or give them a tryout, we got to get them in. So that was kind of the genesis. They had a whole bunch of independent highlights, stuff I think from the collective events a number of weeks ago. And they're a very impressive team. This is the biggest match of their lives. Non-title, obviously. This was not for the AEW Tag Team Championship. And they went out there, and I thought that they tore the house down. I mean, they had a very impressive showing. Very similar to the Young Bucks. A younger version of the Young Bucks. You know, at some point, the Young Bucks aren't going to be so young anymore. They might have to change their name. Middle-aged Bucks. It's like the Heartbreak Kid. You just get to a certain age where, just doesn't work anymore. But the Bucks went for more bang for your buck. Dante countered into a crucifix pin for a really good near fall. And they ended up hitting the BTE trigger for the win. I'm not even going to attempt to recap the key moves of the match. I mean, this match was going about as fast as you would expect this match to go. A lot of fancy dives out of the ring and you know, just really impressive athletic stuff. But all you need to know is they impressed a lot of people. If they're not signed, and I'm almost sure they have to be, I don't know that they would be putting him in this spot on TV if they weren't either signed or interested in signing them. If they're not signed, it's only a matter of time. They just signed Matt Sydal. Matt Sydal is now officially All Elite. Probably only a matter of time before Top Flight is as well. But the BTE trigger won it for the Bucks. After the match, TH2, a team we don't get to see very often on Dynamite, Jack Evans and Angelico, they attacked the Young Bucks. Actually, they beat down Top Flight, and I think the Bucks came out after them. That's what happened. So they went after Top Flight. They bailed through the crowd. I don't know how many of you saw this. I didn't watch all of AEW Dark this week, but I was tipped off about a new segment that Britt Baker was debuting, a new interview segment called The Waiting Room. And I'm a sucker, you know, old school wrestling fan. I love all those interview segments over the years. The Brother Love Show, The Funeral Parlor, Piper's Pit. Buddy Rogers used to have a segment called Rogers Corner, King's Court, Heartbreak Hotel. I mean, there's been so many of them, right? Carlito's Cabana. I could go on and on. But I wanted to see how they were going to do this. And I love this because this was not something that was done in the ring. What they've done is they've rigged up a little set, very much like, you know, they had for Piper's Pit many years ago, and it's in the form of a waiting room, because, of course, Britt Baker is a doctor. See what they did there? So you have this waiting room, Reba Rebel, whatever she wants to call herself. She does the introduction, and through a door comes the doctor. And she brought out Jack Evans and Angelico, who, they weren't that great. But I love the concept of the segment. I hope they do more of these. And actually, I hope they start doing them on Dynamite. The waiting room. If you didn't see it, it was somewhere in the middle of Dark, in the first hour of Dark this week. Go check it out. I enjoyed that. We had part one of the Inner Circle invading Las Vegas. Jared mentions the Peep Show. Forgot about the Peep Show. Skyline says the Crack Den. That must have been an ECW one. I don't remember the Crack Den. That's not TVPG. We had part one of the Inner Circle invading Las Vegas. They split this up into two segments on the show tonight. You knew it was going to be comedy. You know, again, they're telling the longer story here. MJF has joined the Inner Circle. I believe that he's going to end up ousting Chris Jericho as the leader of the Inner Circle. He's going to cause a lot of strife from within. That's a story that's going to take a few months to, I think, play out. So in the meantime, they're going to have a nice bonding trip. And MJF bought everybody tickets to Las Vegas. And so they shot this video of them carousing out on the strip and at the casino and with the, you know, with the dancers and everything. This was set, by the way, to a Fozzy song called Drinking with Jesus. And the only reason I know this song is because when I was on the Jericho Cruise, it's a Jericho Cruise, so you can expect all you fucking hear everywhere is Fozzy music. That's all you hear is Fozzy this and Fozzy that. And so from the cruise, they played multiple times, Drinking with Jesus, Drinking with Jesus. So I heard the music. I said, boy, that sounds familiar. And sure enough, that's what it was. MJF, he was trying to buddy up to Chris Jericho, trying to buddy up to Santana. Ortiz didn't want to have any part of it. Sammy Guevara doesn't trust this guy. He's made that very clear. Jake Hager and Wardlow. The thing I liked about this, they never spoke, but they were very distrusting of each other. They don't trust each other. So they were keeping a close eye on one another the whole time. And Jericho and MJF were at the bar. They were arguing over what kind of drink they wanted to have. And they finally settled on this one drink. I forgot the name of it. But it didn't go down very well. And they were both holding their stomach. And haha, I guess that's the punchline. More importantly, this was the real highlight of this. So they get out of the casino. And they're outside. And Jericho doesn't feel well. MJF doesn't feel well. They're both woozy. And Santana and Ortiz tell them, we got to take this to the next level. We're not done yet. We got to go even higher. We're going to party even harder. And all of a sudden, who should show up here on Dynamite making his Dynamite debut appearance? But Conan. Conan the Barbarian himself. Now, Conan makes a cameo appearance here. And there's a limousine outside. They pile into the limo. They pile out of the limo. When they get out of the limo, it's this plume of smoke. So you can imagine what they were doing inside the limousine. But what I thought was cool about it is, you know, there's a history there. Santana and Ortiz were part of LAX with Conan and Impact. And so it was cool to see him make it appear. It was brief. He didn't really have much to say, but it was cool to see him make a cameo here on this show. But when they get out of the limo, and all the smoke comes out of the limo with them, and they're all baked. Conan is face-to-face with Chris Jericho, and he's talking about seeing a dragon. And Jericho says, you know, he turns around, he sees the same thing, and they pan over, and it's a guy in a dragon costume. I don't know if there's an inside joke there, or if it's just that, you know, they were blitzed out of their mind, or if the dragon is if the dragon has some kind of meaning, I don't know. But at this point, we were left with a to-be-continued message, so we knew there was a part two coming up later on in the show. I will say this. This made me sad because as I'm watching this, it reminds me of the last time I went to Vegas. It reminds me of actually a bachelor party I had in Vegas with my best friend many years ago. Not my bachelor party. But even, you know, the first Double or Nothing show last year was in Vegas. Went to Vegas. Always have fun in Vegas. And I'm watching this and I'm going, God, I missed that. And I may never get to do this for who knows how long. I was pissed. It was actually making me depressed. I'm surprised Vegas is even open. I thought they had closed down a lot of these places in Vegas. Apparently not. We got a very newsworthy promo on this show from the AEW champion, Jon Moxley. Pretty damn good promo to boot. I know the real news coming out of this is going to have to do with his wife, but can we just say that I thought this was a very good promo? I thought he was in a room somewhere in the back, sitting by himself, and he was talking about his father. And he said that he credits his father for making him AEW champion. He says his dad was this big guy, 6'3", 250 pounds, who would not hesitate to smack you upside the ear if he had a reason to do so. Said Moxley remembered his father one time picking him up from the police station. And his father told him, no matter what happens around us, always remember that they are the good guys. Moxley talked about his body hurting, and he very casually slipped in this little mention of having a pregnant wife at home. Just slipped it in there. Maybe he figured people would notice. Of course, everybody noticed. People were freaking out about this. But I love how he just very... It really, if you think about it, is the most Jon Moxley esque way of making that kind of announcement. Oh, by the way, you know, I'm having a kid. And then he just continues on with his promo. It's just one little small part of his promo. Talked about the contract signing coming up a little bit later with Kenny Omega. But Excalibur, once the segment was over, he said, you know, Moxley kind of buried the lead, and he congratulated Moxley and Renee Young. Yes, indeed, Renee Young is preggo. Renee Young is with child. We don't know how far along she is. We don't know the sex of the baby. But imagine having Jon Moxley as your father. That is going to be something else. But congrats to Renee. Congrats to Renee. Renee's streak of just positive news coming out of her WWE run continues. She's got a cookbook coming out. She says she's going to be starting a Twitch channel very soon. Now she's having a kid. Everything is just lining up for Renee Young. See, you leave WWE, good things will happen. Someone needs to tell Zelina Vega, good things will happen. By the way, on that subject, I did notice tonight a tweet, and I wish I would have pulled it, from SAG-AFTRA. On their official account, they posted a tweet saying, just wrapped up a very long or productive conversation with Thea Trinidad, a.k.a. Zelina Vega. And then there was one more line that basically said, you know, hopefully pro wrestlers will start to look into getting what's theirs. Like, I don't have the exact wording in front of me, but very interesting. Had a very long conversation with SAG, and who knows what they talked about. Who knows where that may go. But yes. Tell Zelina, only good things will happen. Life does not begin and end with WWE. There is, in fact, life outside of WWE. Kip Sabian against Orange Cassidy, one-on-one. I would say by default, this was the weakest thing on the show, but even this, it wasn't bad. I just, you know, really wasn't overly excited about this. We had Miro on commentary. Still no update on the bachelor party. Still no update on the wedding with Kip and Penelope. Miro says these things take time. You've got to plan them out. You got to be patient. AEW banking on that big wrestling wedding for a big rating. It's smart. Look, WWE has done it. Impact has done it. Every promotion has done it. You always have the wrestling wedding because wrestling weddings are just ratings magnets. I don't know if this one will be a ratings magnet, but I, you know, they better have a good plan for it. They're dragging this thing out. Maybe they'll end up having the real wedding on Dynamite. Cassidy hit a diving DDT from the top rope. Caught Sabian on the way down, planted him with the DDT. Sabian rolled outside to avoid the orange punch. He went for some kind of springboard move. He slipped. It sucks. It happens. But he slipped, so he botched whatever it was that he did. Springboard attempt, whatever it was he was going to do, he botched it. But they recovered. Sabian hit a brainbuster for a near fall. Michinoku Driver, another near fall. Cassidy countered out of a swinging neck breaker with an inside cradle, and then he won with the mousetrap. So Orange Cassidy gets the win. Miro, I've never seen a man move so fast in my life. It was as if, I mean, this is, in my mind, I visualized someone coming to him and saying, hey, your WWE release papers are over there. And this is how he would have moved. He was at the announce desk for this match. You would have seen like a cartoon dust cloud behind him. As fast as this guy just made a beeline for the ring, he jumped over the top rope. He clobbered Cassidy, turned him inside out. Best friends ran out. And that was Miro and Sabian's cue to get the hell out of there. So this program is going to continue. We're going to get some tag matches out of it, I'm sure. Can't say that I really are much into this feud. I'm waiting for the bachelor party and the wedding. I really can't say that I care for the best friends against these two, but maybe we'll get a good match out of it. This wasn't bad, but this was, I thought, the weakest thing on the show. Who else do we have here? So I mentioned our friend Cheeseburger earlier, who wanted to know why does... I'm going to mention that in a little bit. Actually, that ties into something I want to talk about with part two of the Inner Circle. Pedro, again, thank you for that 38 spot earlier on. And he's... thought the reformation of Death Triangle was a bit anticlimactic. Willing to see where they go from here, but it was underwhelming. And he thinks Ricky Starks is going to be the breakout star on Team Taz. Hey, I've been saying it for a while. I've been singing Ricky Starks' praises since I started watching him on NWA Power. Nobody was happier to see him sign with AEW than I was. You know, he could have gone to NXT. He could have gone anywhere. I feel like he would just be stockpiled there with everybody else. This guy has breakout potential more than a lot of people, I think, in that company. So, yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Lord Frieza, I got to say, this episode was entertaining. From the Inner Circle stuff to the ending, which you called, by the way. Well, I'm sure a lot of people called that, but I did say, did I not make that comment last week when they were waiting around and Will Hobbs, he made that late entry. It's like, what? What took him so long? And I said, well, let's see. Maybe that was done on purpose. Maybe he's going to end up joining Team Taz. I don't know. It seemed pretty obvious to me. And Jacob Donnelly with the 5. Top Flight are great on Dark, and they are really they really delivered tonight. For me, that was the match of the night. Now, we were supposed to have a contract signing on the show for the AEW Championship match. The tagline, by the way, for that December 2nd episode of Dynamite, Winter is coming. That's got to be some kind of Game of Thrones reference. I never watched Game of Thrones. My brother, he was obsessed with it. I vaguely remember there being this something. Maybe it was Winter is coming. Something is coming. So I assume it must have something to do with Game of Thrones. I have to assume. Plus, the whole winter theme. Wasn't that part of like a Seth Rollins entrance at WrestleMania? It was a WrestleMania 34. He came out with those weird contact lenses. I thought maybe that was a Game of Thrones reference. So that's how they're billing it. Winter is coming December 2nd. AEW title on the line. Kenny Omega, Jon Moxley. We were supposed to have a contract signing. Justin Roberts introduces Kenny Omega as a Wrestling Observer Hall of Famer. Unlike Jon Moxley, he is a Wrestling Observer Hall of Famer. In fact, he is. Brand new. Just inducted this past week into the Observer Hall of Fame was Kenny Omega, voted on by his peers. That is what the Observer Hall of Fame is. It is not Dave Meltzer sitting in the corner pleasuring himself, filling out ballots. It's his fellow wrestlers, past and present. I'm sure it was mostly wrestlers of the present voting him in. I feel like he's still in the middle of his career. I don't get the sense Kenny Omega is in the twilight of his career. It's very weird to me that he would be inducted in the middle of his career. I'm sure other people have been inducted also before they retired, but I mean, realistically, nobody in wrestling ever really retires. But if it were me, and look, I don't have a vote, so my vote don't count because I don't get to vote. But if it were me, I think it's too early. But anyway, he is an Observer Hall of Famer. So, and that's got to be that's all the matches with Okada. You take those matches away, Kenny Omega ain't no Hall of Famer yet. Maybe down the road. That is just all the New Japan Okada matches, the Okada trilogy. That's all that is. So it's time for Moxley to make his entrance. And nobody comes out. They're waiting for Moxley. All of a sudden, we cut to the back. And the camera finds Moxley laid out unconscious in the back. We see Doc Samson. We see Jerry Lynn huddled around him. Moxley is out cold. He's got a bloody nose. He's out. We don't know what happened. Kenny Omega's in the ring. He says, well, I'm signing the contract anyway. And so he signed the contract. We still need John Moxley's signature to make it official. This seems to me to be the beginning of the full heel turn for Kenny Omega. He really hasn't gone heel yet, but they're building to it. They're building to it. So unless they swerve us and the person who attacked Moxley is Eddie Kingston, who just can't let a grudge go, we have to assume it was Kenny Omega. And this could be the start of what will be a full-fledged Kenny Omega turn coming up in the next few weeks. I still think Kenny Omega's winning the championship, and that would be the right time for him to just go full bore. Whether he's going to cheat to win, if he's going to just beat Moxley into a bloody mess, whatever it's going to be. Yeah, I was thinking about this. On the show last week, when I was talking about this, if you remember, I said that it would make sense for Omega to win the championship on December 2nd if Moxley is going to go to Japan to defend his IWGP US title against Kenta at the beginning of January at Wrestle Kingdom, because he has to quarantine for a few weeks before. He'll have to quarantine for a few weeks coming out of the show. But then I remembered, I said, you've got two guys in Omega and Moxley who have the same issue. Because Kenny Omega is scheduled. Now, there is no date officially set yet. But all we know is that AAA is planning its Triple Mania show sometime in December. We don't know when. It's possible it gets canceled if the COVID stuff gets worse. He is the AAA Mega Heavyweight Champion. He is committed to wrestling on that show. Things seem to be worse in Mexico when it comes to COVID than it is in Japan. So Omega is going to be in the exact same situation, where if he's got to go to Mexico to defend his title, you would think that he's going to be missing a few weeks also. So I'm not sure that even makes a difference in the end, because you're probably going to be missing both guys for a few weeks. All these guys holding championships for other promotions, and this is where it kind of becomes a bit of a cluster. I completely forgot, because he's had that belt for so long and hasn't defended it, but then again, so is Moxley. What was the last time Moxley defended the IWGP US belt? And when was the last time Kenny Omega defended the AAA Mega Heavyweight belt? It's like these belts are just collecting dust. The Inner Circle invades Las Vegas, part two. This is where it became very obvious, as if it wasn't obvious in part one. This is where they just they didn't even try to hide the fact that they were just spoofing the Hangover movies. They're on the roof of a building somewhere. It's the end of their night. They all are just drunk off their ass. For Jericho, I'm sure there's not much acting involved there. They're completely wasted. They picked up an Elvis impersonator along the way. He's on the roof with that. I thought they were going to throw him off the roof, but now he's an honorary member of the Inner Circle. And MJF has his scarf tied around his head, like some kind of ninja headband. And so we cut to the next morning, daybreak, and Jericho wakes up in bed, and he looks over and he sees Elvis, well, the Elvis impersonator. Not that he's imagining that he's sleeping with Elvis, because that would be fucking weird. So he wakes up next to the Elvis impersonator. Sammy Guevara wakes up and he realizes he got married to three different women and he's all freaked out. Ortiz was working out. He was lifting weights. Ortiz was great. He's like pumping iron here. They should have had him doing DDP yoga. First thing in the morning, down dog, up dog. It's actually a whole bunch of wrestling theme moves in DDP yoga also. Road warrior, showstopper. They should have had him doing that, right? They're all friends with DDP there. Then they hear a baby crying, just like in the movie. They hear a baby crying. Where's that coming from? They go to the closet or whatever room it was. They open the door. And who do they find on the other side of the door? They find Hornswoggle. And he is sitting on the floor crying. He is wearing nothing but a diaper. Cheeseburger, I did see your super chat earlier, and that's something I wanted to mention because I agree with what Cheeseburger said. It is very creepy and alarming how much horny, especially with that haircut, resembles AJ Styles. I felt like I was looking at a miniature version. It's kind of funny to say because AJ is not exactly the tallest guy to begin with, but I felt like I was looking at a miniaturized version of AJ Styles. And now that's all I'm going to think about whenever I see Hornswoggle. As long as he keeps that hair the way it is, he looks just like AJ. So that was kind of the whole punchline of the segment. I thought Ortiz made this. Ortiz is great in everything he does. He's very entertaining. I thought it was cool to see Conan. And I like The Hangover. So I thought it was a stupid comedy. Fun, you know, I got a kick out of it. If I wasn't a fan of the Hangover movies, I might feel differently, but I enjoyed it for what it was. Then we had the M's, I love you too, M's. Thank you for the kind words. He says he loves the channel. I love that you love the channel. Tell all your friends to subscribe too. Bring them on over. We're always inviting new members here to the channel. We had the Bastard Pack. In his very first match since March 11th. It was the last time we saw him in action on this show or any show. March 11th. He was back here to take on the Blade. This was way more competitive than I thought it should have been. You know, for Pac's first match back, it felt like the Blade took the majority of the match. Now, maybe if I go back and watch it, maybe I'll realize it was a little more even, but it felt to me like Pac was working from underneath. Because now he's the babyface, even though they call him the Bastard. I mean, he's basically in the babyface, or felt like on this show anyway, he was in the babyface role. But I thought that they gave the Blade more than they should have, but he made the most of it. I thought he looked good. This might have been Blade's very first singles match on Dynamite. I don't know if he's had singles matches before on Dark. It's possible he has, and I just didn't see it, or I don't remember. But I don't remember him doing much when it comes to singles. I've seen the Butcher, but I don't think I've seen the Blade do much as a singles, and I thought he looked good. I just didn't think he should get so much offense here. At one point during this match, he hit a release, I don't even know, release brainbuster. Basically, he picked up Pac in a suplex position, he was going to give him a vertical suplex. And he dropped him on the top rope, but he almost missed the top rope, and Pac almost came straight down on his head. So that was kind of like a, ugh. That was almost a bad moment, but thankfully he didn't fall on his head. The Bunny distracted Pac. Pac was getting ready to hit the Black Arrow. Bunny distracted him, so he jumped down. Butcher got in the ring, tried to attack. Pac took him out. Down goes the Butcher. Blade rolled him up, handful of tights for a near fall. Pac kicked out. Pac goes up top, hits the Shooting Star Press, not the Black Arrow. I like that. Save the Black Arrow. The Black Arrow is a special move. Nobody should ever kick out of it, but it should be saved. He doesn't need to do it in every match. Save it for a big match. So he hit the Shooting Star instead, transitioned immediately into the Brutalizer, and Blade tapped out. So Pac grabs a mic. He grabs a microphone, And he turns his attention to Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston was on commentary for this match. He looks over at Eddie Kingston, and he's going to address Eddie Kingston. And as he begins to do so, he gets attacked from behind by the Butcher. Kingston now gets up from the announce desk, grabs a mic of his own, comes into the ring. Butcher and Blade have packed. They're holding him. And Eddie Kingston starts to cut a promo on him. He's going to make him run the gauntlet. All of a sudden, out comes Rey Fénix. And Rey Fénix jumps into the ring, dives into the ring. He's shielding Pac. He's coming to Pac's rescue. Now, he's part of this faction with Eddie Kingston, but I guess no more. So he's trying to protect Pac, but he's also going after Eddie Kingston. They start to beat him down. So now they're beating down Fénix, and out comes Penta. Penta's got a chair in his hand, and they're teasing that Penta is going to hit his brother with the chair. They want you to believe that he is going to hit his brother with this chair, and instead, he goes after Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston bails, and the Death Triangle is officially reunited. And we now have ourselves a three-on-three program with the Death Triangle, Pac, Penta, and Rey Fénix against Eddie Kingston, the Butcher, and the Blade. A lot of factions. A lot of three-man groups and factions all throughout AEW. So now we have these two feuding with each other, although it sounds like Kingston may be forcing Pac to first go through the Butcher. You know, he beat the Blade. Now I figure he'll have to face the Butcher. If he beats the Butcher, Pac may then get his match. In fact, I think the timing works out where we could end up with Pac maybe next week. Actually, no, they're doing a tag match. I take that back. Next week, it's Pac and Rey Fénix against Butcher and Blade. So maybe if Pac's team wins, maybe then on the December 2nd show. Thinking to build that up like a little mini pay-per-view. Maybe they do the match there, Pac against Eddie Kingston. But they are doing that tag match next week. I like the fact that they are reuniting the Death Triangle. It never had a chance to grow. It's not their fault. You know, the pandemic hit. Whatever plans they had for this group, let them see them through. It feels like they're picking up where they left off. Now they have another faction to feud with. Pac and Penta and Fénix as a trio, I think, has a lot of potential. And I've said this before, you know, normally I'm not a fan of adding titles unnecessarily. They've got the FTW title. Maybe they start having Cage defend that. They've got the TNT title, a women's title. Now they're defending NWA titles on their show. But at some point, I would like to see that, because I think it would work on this show because they have so many groups. I would like to see them introduce Trios titles. They had Trios titles in Lucha Underground. They worked there. I like those. I think they would work here, too. I don't know that it has to happen right now. And again, I'm not a fan of just overflowing with championships, but I think Trios belts on this show would work. To the back, we see another commotion in the back. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in the back on this show. We see Jade Cargill, who made her debut on the show last week, and she was promptly confronted by Brandy. Brandy just went, she went street on Jade and cut the best promo of her life last week, which if you ever wanted to hear me recite a Brandi Rhodes promo word for word, that's on last week's review. You can go back and listen to it there. But we see Jade in the back, and she's got Brandy on the ground, and she's got Brandy's left arm in a chair. Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero are holding back the officials, and Jade stomps on the chair. I don't know if the story now is that she broke her arm, if Brandy's going to be on TV now with a cast on her arm, probably. Big swole, red velvet, they came into camera view, Serena Deeb, they made the save, they chased off Jade and her cronies. So, I don't know what's going on here. I don't know if there's an alliance now between Jade and Nyla and Vicky. I have no idea. But no Shaq. There was no Shaq appearance this week. Jade was not talking about Shaq. There was a brief mention of Shaq by Excalibur when Cody came out for the main event. He was wearing a t-shirt, I think, teasing Shaq in some way, but that was it. No Shaq this week. No Radio Shaq, no Shake Shaq, no Love Shaq. Serena Deeb defended her NWA Women's Championship against the former champion, Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa had 277 days as the champion. Her reign was brought to an end several weeks ago by Serena Deeb. Kind of a shocker. Got a lot of people talking. Does that mean that Thunder Rosa is leaving the NWA? Is she going to NXT? Is she going full-time to AEW? Well, it turned out she's in the exact same situation that she's been in. They just decided to take the title off of her for some reason. Still don't know why. But she was trying to get her championship back here. And what we ended up with was, in my opinion, one of the top three greatest women's matches that we have seen in the history of AEW. Now, I know that so far, that's not exactly the highest bar. There have been some really good matches, and there have been some stinkers. But I believe that this is one of the best matches with the women that they have had. And it happened to be with two women who are really NWA stars and not AEW stars. And I pointed this out before. It's a little weird that the NWA women stuff has been outshining a lot of the AEW women stuff. But you know what? It's on the AEW show. So AEW benefits from it. So what are you going to do? But I thought Sheeta and Rosa was better. But this may be probably my second favorite, maybe of all the women's matches I've seen in AEW. I thought this was very good, even with the interference from Britt Baker. That at least served a purpose. It served to set up Rosa's next feud. Serena hit a spear on the apron to Rosa at one point. That was pretty neat. Rosa fought back. She went up top, hit a missile drop kick that sent Serena out of the ring. At this point, we saw Rebel. Rebel was outside. She's distracting the referee. While this is going on, out from the back, I believe from the back, unless she was in the crowd, comes Britt Baker, the host of the waiting room. Out comes Britt Baker, and she hits a swinging neck breaker to Rosa on the ramp. She scampers off to the back. Serena hits a stack power bomb to Rosa. And shockingly, Rosa kicked out. They got me on this one. I thought that was it. I did not expect Thunder Rosa to kick out. So that surprised me. She kicked out. The match went on. They exchanged a whole series of cradles back and forth, trying to steal the pin. They kept kicking out. And finally, Serena applied a Koji clutch. Rosa fought out of it with a double stomp to the chest. And they went to another exchange of cradles before Serena hit a modified Angel's Wings for the three count. So Serena Deeb retains her NWA Women's Championship in part due to the interference by Britt Baker. But again, Thunder Rosa kicked out and the match went on. So how much of that can you really blame on Britt Baker? I mean, this felt like a mostly clean win. Even despite the interference, it felt like a mostly clean, solid win for Serena Deeb. But I guess by doing that, it kind of protects Rosa because somebody else got involved. Rosa, after the match was over, went after Britt Baker, who was outside, and they had a pull-apart brawl, so clearly that is the next feud. It's going to be Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker, and it'll be good to see Britt Baker involved in a new feud. I feel like ever since the stuff with Big Swole came to an end, she's just sort of lingering. She's not really doing much. This is going to be a real test for Britt Baker. We know how good Thunder Rosa is. The knock on Britt Baker, especially in the early part of her AEW career, was that she wasn't that great. Her matches were very rough around the edges. But when the heel turn came, it gave her this great, just new lease on life, right? Her whole personality changed, and she became this just entertaining part of the show. Her getting in the ring with Thunder Rosa, though, I think will be her biggest in-ring challenge yet. What kind of match can she have? You know, do they have a great match? Can Britt Baker keep up with her? I don't know, but we're going to find out. Backstage, John Silver of the Dark Order was with Anna Jay. Anna Jay. Number 99. That's her Dark Order number. And we found out that she has been advancing steadily up the rankings. And next week on Dynamite, she is going to get a women's championship match against Hikaru Shida. So this week it was the NWA women's title being defended. Next week it's going to be the AEW women's title being defended. Now, Anna Jay does not have the level of experience that Serena Deeb has. She does not have the level of experience that Thunder Rosa has. This is not, if you're going to kind of compare the two matches, I think it's pretty unfair. Anna Jay is still very green. She's still very inexperienced. We'll see what kind of match she has next week. I don't expect it to be as good as this one was. But now Sheeta has her turn to defend her championship next week. And the main event, Turtlehead says the BTE champion, John Silver. Is that the case? Boy, I must be really behind on my BTE. Is he the BTE champion? That's another belt. There's another title. John Silver is quite great. Main event was Darby Allin and Cody Rhodes against Team Taz, Brian Cage, and Ricky Starks. Cage, at one point, hit a double release German suplex to Darby Allin and his own partner. Starks and Allin were fighting, and Cage just comes up from behind Allin, and he just suplexes both of them and takes them both over because the guy is a freak of nature. Ricky Starks caught Cody with a running spear. Cage with a powerbomb to Darby. He went for another one, but Darby countered that into a destroyer for a near fall. Cage, I think he was waiting for Starks to make the save. He was kind of late, so he kicked out at the last second. I mean, it was close. It was very, very close. Cody dropped Starks with the crossroads. Cage started just killing dudes, and the end of the match came with the avalanche drill claw to Darby Allin from the middle rope on the inside. So that is the win for Team Taz. They pick up the victory here. That should earn Brian Cage a shot at the TNT title sometime very soon. Starks went after Darby when the match was over. Cody came to the rescue. Cage attacked him. So now they're both getting beaten down. Out comes Will Hobbs. Big Will Hobbs. Taz has been waiting for weeks now for an answer. Are you in or are you out? Are you going to join Team Taz? Or are you not going to join Team Taz? And we've seen Will Hobbs. How many times have we seen Will Hobbs run out there with a chair? Three or four times at least in the last month. Out he comes again. And Will Hobbs, I think he had a chair yet again. He had a chair. That's right. He had a steel chair in his hand tonight again. Team Taz clears out of the ring. Cody is down. Darby is down. And it appears he locks eyes on the FTW title because Brian Cage left his belt behind. So Will Hobbs picks up the FTW title and he wallops Cody with it. He clobbers him with the belt. Tony Schiavone can't believe it. He's just beside himself. Will Hobbs is now an official member of Team Taz. Team Taz has expanded now to three members. And I like that. Ricky Starks is a star on the rise. Clearly, they think Will Hobbs is as well. I haven't seen enough of him to really know how good he can be. He's shown flashes of stuff. He hits a great spine buster. Arn Anderson would be proud of the spine buster this guy hits. So I've seen flashes of greatness in the guy, but I just haven't seen enough of him. Now that he's part of this group, we'll probably get to see more of him on TV. It strengthens Taz's group. It puts this guy in a great position now. Because now he's going to be featured on TV. So now you got two young guys in the group who they consider to be stars on the rise. They have Taz as their mouthpiece. Not that Ricky Starks needs a mouthpiece, but you've got Taz there, who's one of the best talkers in the business. It's a good spot for Will Hobbs to be in. I saw this coming, but I still like the swerve here. I thought it was a good show closing angle. Makes Will Hobbs feel like a big deal. And that was the show. Again, I thought it was a pretty strong show overall. A lot of really good in-ring stuff on this show. The contract signing, obviously it's leading to something, but that was a dud. You know, I was kind of expecting some good dueling promos here. And as good as Kenny Omega may be, Kenny Omega on the mic ain't no Eddie Kingston. So I should have known better. It wasn't going to be as good as the stuff that we got with Moxley and Kingston leading up to their pay-per-view match. Kenny Omega can do a lot of things, cutting a great promo. I don't consider that to be one of them. I have yet to see a real blow-away Kenny Omega promo. That is not his strong suit. We ended up not getting that in the show tonight anyway. But a good show. I thought a very good show overall. Let's see if you guys agree. The polls are up. You can vote if you would like to at Solomonster on Twitter. 84%. Thumbs up. That's excellent. That's a very high score there for AEW. 84 up. And over on the NXT side, 67 up, 32 down. So it feels like Groundhog Day every week. It feels like Groundhog Day. I will catch up with NXT tomorrow, as I usually do the very next day. And let's catch up with some of your super chats here. I do appreciate all of the support. You don't really need me to say that. I say it anyway because I mean it. You guys are great. Food Hive. I love this company. Food Hive. Big AEW fan. Food Hive. Jared M. Thank you for that $45 drop. Jared. Jared is one of our diehards. Always love chatting with Jared. Ian Israel. Serena Deeb and Thunder Rosa stole the show. I agree. I think, you know what? I like that match more than I like the Top Flight match. And the Top Flight match was very good. Totally different style. When you see a team like Top Flight in the ring with the Young Bucks, you know the kind of match that you're going to get. It's going to be just wacky dives and just so quick it's hard to keep track of what's going on. High-flying aerial stuff, almost like something out of a video game. It's a spot fest. That's what it is. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with it if that's your style, but that's what that was. The Deeb Rosa match was just a really good pro wrestling match with a few dramatic near falls thrown in there. So I enjoyed that more. I do think that stole the show. Zach Barber, not Death Triangle, Triangulo de la Muerte. I like that. Reminds me of the time I dropped a mention on my show. I think I was just throwing random Spanish together. And I don't know at the time if I quite knew what it meant, although I do now. But I think I created some kind of new superhero or maybe a new villain. And I think I said, El gato la leche con queso y pollo del muerte, which translated to something like the milk cat of chicken and death or something. I don't know. All the Spanish-speaking listeners made fun of me for it. I still think that would be a great wrestling gimmick. El gato la leche con queso y pollo de la muerte. Skyline with the five. You're not alone for Thanksgiving. I know it's a tough time of the year for you. It's a tough time for all of us. That's right. My mother's birthday is actually this Sunday. Survivor Series Sunday coming up. So always a tough time of year. Food Hive, I love the winter is coming theme for December 2nd. Rodimus, boy, I'm really behind here. Rodimus with that giant super chat. You're the first one to debut that new Vince McMahon one, so thank you for that. I figured it was obvious that Will Hobbs was going to turn and join Team Taz, and congrats to John Moxley and Renee on the announcement. Chris Quillman, love your Q&A video. Feels like yesterday I was watching your clips on TV Tracks. Congrats on 13 years. Started from the bottom, and now we're here. Ryan Spies. Yeah, by the way, if you missed it, I spent almost 3 hours answering 90 questions that you guys submitted to me via email, super chat, all kinds of different ways. And I think everybody had a lot of fun. I had a blast doing it. And we're going to do more of them in the future. So if you missed that video, and who knows, your question may be in there. It's up on this channel right now. It is the 13-year anniversary inbox from last week. And go back and check that out. Ryan Spies, my sympathies to you for your musical experience on the cruise. Also, as much as I like Sheeta, I really want Anna to win the title next week. I don't know if she's ready for that. I mean, I could see them doing that because they want to bring a championship back into the Dark Order. I just don't know if she's ready for that spot. She's still very inexperienced. Magician Sapphire, I get what people are saying about the NWA women's title seemingly taking priority over the AEW women's title, but the NWA women been killing it in the ring better than the AEW women. Naif Al-Safar, thank you very much for the support. Let's see here. Duran Berry with the $5. You are the best. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Christian, would be cool if Kenta attacked Moxley. He lives in Florida and is free because he is not in the tag league that is going on right now. I know it is a long shot. I'm sure there's other reasons preventing that from happening, regardless of where he lives. But that would be cool. Garrus Vicarion, Butcher, Blade, and Bunny are a pretty good team. Lee Wilkins. Hello, Mr. Solomon, sir. I've been listening to you since 2018. Can you tell me about the Bone Street Crew and how it came about? Well, that's a completely different subject. But the Bone Street Crew, it was just a almost like a backstage posse. It was like just a group of friends that came together. They called themselves the Bone Street Crew, and they all got tattoos. Undertaker's got a giant BSK tattoo on his stomach. I think it was Undertaker at different times. It was Undertaker, Yokozuna, Fatu, I think Henry Godwin, Godfather, and Savio Vega. I don't know if anybody else was part of it, but those are the members that I'm aware of. And some of them will be at Survivor Series this Sunday. Savio Vega is going to be there. Godfather is going to be there. Oz and Glorious, my super chats. Aided at the end of last week's show. Can someone acknowledge Shaq Fu? Thank you for being a friend. And he also says Anna Jay is a 99 out of 100 in the easy on the eyes category. She is a beautiful woman. I will say that. Profane Gaming. If Jake is short for Jacob, then the same is true for Snake. Jake Roberts' real name is Jacob the Snakeub Roberts. Are you drunk? Have you been having a little too much of the bubbly? I think you have. Based on that super chat, I'm going to sick El Gato con Queso La Leche del Muerte on you if you keep sending me super chats like that. But thank you, Profane Gaming. Jackalope Music, I like Thunder Rosa. In your opinion, who did AEW miss out on more in not signing? Jeff Cobb in year one or Thunder Rosa in year two? Well, again, that was Jeff Cobb's decision. He had a standing offer, and he wanted to go to New Japan. Jeff Cobb is a talented guy, but you know what? I think that AEW needs someone like a Thunder Rosa in the women's division. I think their women's division needs a Thunder Rosa more than their men's division needs a Jeff Cobb, if that makes sense. So I would say Thunder Rosa. Harry Todd, if Vince ever goes and Triple H takes over, do you think we'll get a Mr. Helmsley, almost a mirror of the Mr. McMahon character on WWE shows? No. I think he would be, I hope he would be smart enough to not do that. So no. We don't have it in NXT, so there's no reason to think we would have a Triple H authority figure dominating the shows every week on the main roster. Food Hive, what's up with Marty Scurll and Ring of Honor? Nobody seems to know. He signed that incredible deal. The reason he did not go to AEW, they offered him more money, I think, than they've ever offered anyone before, and they gave him the book. So he was the booker. He had all the power. And now he's like persona non grata. There's some kind of internal investigation going on stemming from the speaking out allegations. But they have not rendered a final verdict, although I don't believe Marty Scurll is listed on their roster anymore. I haven't been to the website recently. Somebody mentioned that he's not on there. It's not looking good. Not looking good at all. And Uffman Entertainment, and I think this might be it. One day you got to bless us with your talking in Spanish and then in your Russo. Spanish Russo? You really want to be subjected to that? Well, first I have to get back to my Duolingo. I don't do Rosetta Stone. There's an app called Duolingo. I started doing some basic Spanish lessons, and I just fell off because I had too much work to do, but I'm going to get back to it. I'm going to brush up on my Spanish, and I'm going to see if I can incorporate some into the show. It probably will not end well, but if you want me to do that, I might do that. And Oz and Gloria, shout out to Food Hive. And will the villain show up in AEW as a redemption story in 2021? Another Marty Scurll question. I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't know, honestly, that is the kind of attention that they're looking for. I mean, we'll see. You know, if Ring of Honor comes to find out that no wrongdoing or whatever. I mean, didn't he apologize? So it's not like nothing happened. I don't want to get into that whole thing, but I don't think that's the kind of attention that AEW is looking for. So never say never, right? He is still friendly with all those guys. But again, I don't think it's looking too good for the villain right about now. Not looking good for the villain. Phone numbers on your screen. Let's start with 810.
Oh, wow. I'm shocked.
Yeah, you just called in, too. I hit that one. You're on for like 50 yeah. seconds. I'm like, boy, you got in first.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, man, I've been listening probably for the last 3 months. I just actually found out your channel.
Oh, wow.
Very
That's awesome.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
But anyways, so my question is about tonight with the whole Death Triangle thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was more forced, and I feel like it could have been, you know, like pushed back or waited on and actually built up. I was just curious on your thoughts about it.
Well, forced in what way? Because they were aligned already for a few weeks, right? The last time we all saw them together, and Pac yeah. here was being double teamed, and we saw what happened on TV mm-hmm. last week, right? With Phoenix, we saw Eddie Kingston kicking him out of the ring. So I don't know. To me, it kind of makes sense. They've already established that these guys were friends or allies in some way. And so
yeah.
Phoenix came out first without Penta because, you know, he doesn't like Eddie Kingston after what happened last week, and he's just protecting his buddy.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, that's how I look at it.
Thinking about how, because they're obviously going to be pushing this Pac versus Eddie Kingston, so... My thought was you could have it to where it is Pac versus Eddie Kingston, and that's when Penta turns on Eddie and kind of, you know, reunites with his brother and forms the Death Triangle.
All right, so that part, I see what you're saying. So that part of it with Penta.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That could have been dragged out a little bit more. I mean, Eddie was on TV for weeks talking about Pentagon being his best friend. So, yeah, I mean, that part of it, I agree. That could have been dragged out. The drama of it could have been dragged out a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant by it. I feel like they more forced that storyline than, but either way, it still works either way.
Yeah.
Any way you go with it, it still works. But yeah, man, thank you.
Awesome.
Appreciate the time.
Thank you. I mean, they could have dragged that out a little bit more, I guess. Will Penta, you know, go with his brother, or will he stay with Eddie Kingston? But I mean, at most, you're going to drag it out for what? A few weeks? I don't think it's not that big of a deal, I don't think. Deron Berry chiming in with another $5 super chat. Thank you, Deron. Appreciate that. I don't know if I've heard from Deron in past Dynamite streams. Are you a newbie, or have I just been completely blanking out and not seeing you in the chat? Either way, thank you for the support. Go to 214.
Hello?
214, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, Jason? It's Food Hive.
Hey, Food Hive.
Hey, man.
Hey, we're getting ready
for a question.
Wait. We're getting ready for your favorite holiday. We're getting ready for the biggest feast holiday that there is all year long, Thanksgiving. Do you have any special Thanksgiving meal plans?
Oh, yes, actually, I'm selling macaroni and cheese, deviled eggs, and seafood mac and cheese this year.
Macaroni and cheese, deviled eggs?
Not together.
That's okay. All right. Yeah, for a second there, I was like, what the fuck have you created? My God. All right. Though that's okay then. I was going to say, what have you done? Like, this is unnecessary.
Unnecessary. That's nasty.
Oh my God.
That's not But nah, that's what I'm doing. So anybody in the chat from Dallas, y'all hit me up.
There you go. Free publicity there for Fudai. If you want, he's got you taken care of for Thanksgiving.
You know it. Solid Monster chicken sandwich coming too.
Oh, I can't wait. Chicken's my favorite. I don't know what I would do without chicken. If there was no chicken in this world, I'd starve.
Yeah, man. Oh, you brought up Trio's titles earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering who you thought would be a good contender to be the first Trio's champion.
I think Pac and Penta and Phoenix, after what we, you know, now that they're reunited, absolutely. I think they'd be as good of a choice as any. But you know what? Eddie Kingston, Butcher, and Blade, they work too. I'm trying to think because there's so many different combinations in the company, and now I'm blanking on this, but Miro and Kip.
Lucha Express.
Well, Miro and Kip, I guess, they're a duo, but you've got Best Friends and Orange Cassidy. So, I mean, you got a lot of different options, but to me, you can't go wrong with Pac and Penta and Phoenix. Jurassic Express.
You know it's coming when they do that. They're going to introduce the trios, and then I'm guessing they're going to do a little bit of the intergender stuff with the trios title.
They might. They could. That's what Lucha Underground did. Lucha Underground had Jack Evans. No, I'm sorry, not Jack Evans. They had Angelico, Son of Havoc, and Ivelisse. And they did some intergender stuff there. So we haven't really seen that. When I was on the Jericho Cruise, they did. I don't know if this aired on Dark. I thought maybe it did air on Dark. They did an intergender tag match. It was Kenny and Riho against, I forgot.
Yeah, they showed.
They did,
Kenny,
okay.
Kenny and Riho and Kip Sabian and...
And Penelope?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that was, I feel like that was sort of them dipping their toe in the water just to see. And that was a really good match. So, yeah, I would expect at some point we'll probably see more of it.
Yeah. Because I figured, because once you add like the women into the trios stuff, then you'll have a lot of change. You'll have a lot more depth going into it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, with Miro and Kip and. I keep forgetting her name. What's her name? Penelope.
Focus, yeah. Food Hive.
She's too pretty. I keep forgetting.
You're thinking of Anna Jay.
Yeah. Oh, see? Dark Order and Anna Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
That's right.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, man. Well, I hope you enjoy your Thanksgiving, brother. And, happy birthday, Mama Monster. So.
Thank you. Yeah, Thanksgiving is... It's going to be quiet. It's just going to be probably me and my brother. We're not going anywhere, but I'm going to stuff my face until I explode. So I'm going to enjoy this Thanksgiving.
My favorite holiday.
But I will not be having macaroni and cheese and deviled eggs. I can promise you that.
Separately.
I haven't had macaroni and cheese in probably 20. I couldn't have it anyway, but I haven't had that in 25 years. I used to have that all the time. Now if I had that...
Oh, you're lactose intolerant.
Oh, yeah. So if I had macaroni and cheese for dinner on a Wednesday night, you wouldn't be getting a stream. There'd be a different kind of stream. That would be an off-air stream. That's a stream you don't want to know about. You don't want to see. You don't want to hear. So, yeah, we're gonna avoid that. We're going to stay away from that.
Oh.
It'll be streaming from every orifice, from every end. See, it's bad news.
Oh, God bless you, brother.
Yeah.
That sent me for the night.
It's a classy show we have here. Very classy.
Very classy.
All right. I'm going to let you go.
Thanks, man.
All right. Have a good Thanksgiving. That was Food Hive. Don't cross the streams, right? Isn't that what they talked about in Ghostbusters? Don't cross the streams. Maroa. With the super chat, why does Cody have a faction when none of them ever help him or his wife whenever they get attacked? Oh, yeah, the Nightmare family. Not much of a family. Where's Dustin? Right? That's a good point. He and his wife are constantly getting the shit kicked out of him. Where are all their Nightmare family members? Doesn't Pharaoh come jumping out and bite somebody? Not much of a posse if they're not there to protect you. 908.
Solomon, sir, it's good to talk to you again.
Who do I have the pleasure of talking with?
My name is The Truth. Well, it's The Truth the way I see it. But I wanted to ask you, because I love your opinion. Now, The Butcher and The Blade, I love them as a tag team, but they've been jobbing the last couple weeks over and over. I'm like, this is such a great team. The Butcher looks so good. The Blade has a good gimmick going. The Bunny itself is a freaking, like, she's a sex appeal. I'm like, why can't AEW push this tag team, like, every week? As you know, next week, if they're going to job again. It's like they keep jobbing. What the hell's going on with AEW? I'd like to know your opinion on them.
I wouldn't say for sure they're going to job. I mean, I could see maybe Phoenix being the one to take the fall instead of Pac. But yeah, most of the time they are jobbing. I wouldn't job them as much. I wouldn't, but it's not like they're going to be undefeated or anything like that. I mean, the Butcher has a great look. I agree with that. The Butcher just looks like a wrestler, right? He just looks like a guy at a Central Casting, something you'd see back in the 80s or something. So he just has that perfect look. The Blade is fine. The Blade, you know, he was very good in Impact. Braxton Sutter, we know he's a good wrestler. He's got the Bunny. Allie, she's good as well. So yeah, I would like to not see them just be the jobbers to the stars all the time. And I wouldn't count out the possibility that they actually get a win next week.
That's what I'm hoping, bro. What I'm hoping.
At some point,
like, I feel like
at some point they have to win, right? Just to, if Eddie Kingston is going to stay linked up with these guys, just to give them credibility, they can't be losing all the time. Like Eddie fought John Moxley twice and he lost. Butcher and Blade, they lose more than they win. They've got to start winning a little bit, or else they have no credibility. Why even have a group?
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Thanks, Alamasta. Love your opinions. Keep it up, bro.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. I appreciate that. Jaren wasn't expecting you to take my call. Was a little nervous. However, do you think they need to? Who do they need to sign to make the women's division better? See, I don't think it's so much who do they have. Well, first of all, I would get Thunder Rosa signed, but Thunder Rosa signed to the NWA for the next year. But as long as they can use her on their TV show, they've got Thunder Rosa, and she's, I think, an important piece of that women's division. She's everywhere. And she's very good. Even Serena, not taking anything away from Serena. Serena's very good as well. They have a lot of women. If you look at the women's roster in AEW, there are a lot of women, and some of them are not available because they're overseas and they can't travel at the moment. And eventually they'll get some of them back, but they've got Sheeta. And we know they've got Serena, and they've got Thunder Rosa. Allison Kay had that little tryout. Maybe they can get Allison Kay to come. I thought Allison Kay looked good in her match. So, yeah, that was on the Full Gear. It was at the kickoff, I think. So maybe they can get Allison Kay in. But it's not about who can they bring in. Who can they sign? Like, that one person is going to just change the entire division. I feel like the pieces are there. It's just putting the right pieces together. Are Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker going to end up having this amazing feud? Maybe. I think it's something fresh. I look forward to seeing what they can do together in the ring. Maybe those two pieces will fit together. Maybe they'll have a match and the whole thing will fall apart. But it's taking the pieces they have and trying to fit them together. Some of the women they have are better than others. Some of the women they have are very inexperienced. Some of the women are probably better off not being in the ring, and maybe they're a better character on the show instead of being a wrestler. You know, I feel the same way, like in WWE, for example. I made a comment recently about Zelina Vega and how I thought that the perfect role was the role that she had when she was with Andrade, and she had her own little faction, and it was Andrade and Angel Garza and Austin Theory. She's a great personality on the show. That doesn't mean that Zelina Vega is a bad wrestler. I think some people don't realize that I know that she wrestled many years ago in Impact and was a champion in Impact. Yes, I'm aware. I'm aware of that. But what I'm saying is sometimes one role for someone is better than another. Everybody on that roster knows how to wrestle. They have basic wrestling training. Okay, we know that. But sometimes you've got to go where you're going to be best utilized. I feel that way about Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss is not the best wrestler on the roster. I'm sorry, all the Bliss bots out there, but she's not. But you know what? The stuff that she's doing now with The Fiend, she's killing it. That's some of the most interesting stuff on Raw every week. And it's a painful show to sit through. But the stuff with her and The Fiend, I've been enjoying. I was enjoying it when it was on SmackDown, and I enjoy it now for the most part when it's on Raw. That's a great role for her. I don't need to see Alexa Bliss in the ring wrestling every single week. That's not her strong suit. So again, just, you've got the women there. You've got a lot of women on that roster. Figure out where the parts all fit together and start to feature them more. You know, usually it's like one women's match and there's the commercial in the middle, so we miss half of it with the picture-in-picture nonsense. I think you got to start to feature them a little bit more. But that's what you need to do. It's not a matter of, well, who can we sign? We've got some talented women there already. You got to make that work first. Nayef, thank you, man. Thank you for the five. I appreciate that. Let's see. Let's take a few more. Lines are all blazing up. Let's try 845.
Hello.
845, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, Solid Monster? How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right. I just called your show. But, I just wanted to congratulate you. What is it, 13 years?
13.
Still been going, right?
I'm an old fart.
Nah, that's amazing, man. You've been keeping me entertained the past 5-6 years, so
thank you
for that.
Sure.
But I got two questions for you, if you don't mind tonight.
Sure.
First one, so let's assume John Moxley does lose to Kenny Omega on December 2nd, which I assume is gonna happen. Mm-hmm. Would you consider his AEW title reign a bust with COVID and everything going on, you know?
I wouldn't consider it a bust. I think it's been a little underwhelming. COVID definitely didn't help matters, that's for sure. But I wouldn't call it a bust.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's a bust. Mm-hmm. I thought the match he had with Brody Lee at Double or Nothing was actually very
Brody
good.
Lee.
I thought that was very good.
I enjoyed the MJF one a lot, too. The MJF one was good.
Yeah, the MJF one turned out to be
Brian
pretty
Cage.
Good.
I think I like the Cage one, too. Brian Cage is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would say underwhelming, but I wouldn't say a total bust.
A total failure, right? Yeah, nah, I feel the same way. And question number two, what do you do with Lance Archer, man? How do they save this guy?
Well, I wouldn't mind, you know, and I don't know how that'll work because they're both heels, but Cage has that FTW title. And I keep saying, if he's going to carry that thing around with him, at some point he should start to defend it a little bit more. I think we've had one FTW title defense so far. I think just, if they can't come up with anything better for him right now, which I get, because the world title is occupied at the moment. Darby just won the TNT title. I don't think they want to take that off him so quick. So there is no obvious spot for him at the moment, but him and Cage, two big guys just kind of going at it to see who the kind of the alpha male is on the roster. And maybe they trade the belt back and forth. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to take a look at the whole roster and see who else they have available that maybe they could work with Archer. But they should have something for him, and they have nothing. So even my idea of doing something with him in Cage for the TNT title, with the idea that it's just two really big guys beating the hell out of each other, having maybe maybe they have some kind of series of matches. Like, I don't want to say best of seven, but something like that. And they just are battling it out to find out, like I said, who's the tough guy here? Who's the alpha male in this company? And there's something on the line. There's the F whatever it means, right? Whatever that title really represents. He put the FTW title on the line, gives Cage something to do. Although Cage now looks like he might be headed for a title shot with Darby. It sucks because he's just sort of lingering with nothing to do.
Yeah, I don't know. I was hoping, not hoping, but I was saying maybe Archer take the belt from Darby, but that's in a few months maybe. But until then,
yeah, it's too soon. Yeah, it's too soon for that.
Yeah, definitely. But hey, I'm going to let you go. Thanks for accepting my call. And congrats again on 13 years,
man. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Very nice of you. 276, you are on the air.
Hey, Solar Monster, don't cross the streams, brother.
Don't cross the streams. That's what Egon said.
I know. I love the Ghostbuster reference, man. That's awesome.
Well, I love the Ghostbuster. I was very sad. I was very sad to hear earlier today on the subject of popular 80s movies that Michael J. Fox is retiring due to his health. So he will always be Marty McFly to me.
I see that, man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's...
Yeah, back to the future, man.
Back to the future. I know some people like that TV show he was on, not Family Ties, the one that came later, Spin City. I never watched that
Spin
one.
Spin City, yeah.
But, yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame. I guess it was only a matter of time, you know, with the condition that he has, but I was very sad to hear that.
Yeah, for sure. My question is, what do you think's next for my man Sammy Guevara, man? Like, I feel like he's wasted just being the guy who doesn't want MJF to be in the inner circle. He did the Matt Hardy match and lost. So what's next for Sammy?
I think that you just play the storyline out. He obviously hates MJF. He does not want him to be part of the group. I have to think it's leading to something. I don't know if it's a babyface turn. I don't know if it's... I can't see Sammy taking over the group or anything like that. But I think it's leading somewhere. I think you got to play the story out. And then, depending on what the end result of the storyline is, then we'll know, okay, is he still a heel? Is he a babyface? Then what do you do with him? Because he's another one, you know, I could see him competing for the TNT title. I could one day see Sammy as AEW champion, but that's way down the road.
I agree.
Yeah, that's way down the road. I think you got to let the story play out with MJF. Something is going to happen between them because MJF is being... very sarcastically nice to him, and Sammy just hates this guy's guts. He sees right through him. So I think however this story ends, he's going to be a big part of it. What that is, I don't know.
Well, thank you for taking my call, Solid Monster. I hope you have a happy Thanksgiving, brother.
You too. Have yourself a very happy and safe Thanksgiving. That goes to everybody listening, by the way. Thanksgiving coming up next week. I mean, I'll be with you next week anyway. I will be with you if you'll join me on Thanksgiving Eve, because there is a Dynamite next Wednesday. I'll be right here with you, yet again, as I am every week, as soon as Dynamite goes off the air. But I'll wish you all a very early happy Thanksgiving before I forget to do so. All right, let's take a couple more, and then we'll get on out of here. Let's see. Let's go to 3-2, if this works. 3-2-1, there we go. 3-2-1.
Hey, what's going on, Solid Monster? It's KC the Most.
Hey, KC, how you doing? Are you feeling good?
100% better. I went back to work last week, so it feels good to be out of that hospital, man.
I'm very happy to hear that. You sound like you have more energy than you did when you called in last time.
Definitely, man. 25 years without macaroni and cheese, brother. Like, seriously?
Hey, look, there's a lot of things I've had to go without. I was as normal as anybody. And then one day I realized I can't have this anymore. It makes me sick. So anything with cheese, ice cream, all that good stuff, I had to give it up.
I couldn't do that.
I had
But a happy early I'm sorry, what was you saying?
No, I just said I had no choice. It wasn't my decision. It was taken away from me.
That sucks. Well, happy early Thanksgiving to you. This is my day. I'm going to eat everything, including the curtains. I'm going to throw some ketchup on that, too.
Well, don't do that. You'll end up back in the hospital. You'll end up back in the hospital if you do that.
And I hear that, man. Tonight was a solid show. I really enjoyed it, especially the Serena Deeb and Thunder Rosa. That match, yo, them girls tore it down, man.
Oh, yeah.
They had the match of the night. I don't know what AEW could do about their own women's thing, but these are two NWA chicks that just came in and just said, this is our house.
Yeah, and they took over. I mean, they've really impressed me. Pretty much every appearance I've seen of them. Serena, too. You know, Serena won the title. That kind of came out of nowhere. And now I've seen her since she won the championship have a few matches, including the one with Allison Kane. She's been very impressive. It's a nice little comeback story, if you think about it. She was coaching at the Performance Center. She got laid off. She's been around for a long time. It's not like she's a new person. And now she's the champion. So and she got the contract with AEW. So it's a pretty good story.
That is true. I'm also looking forward to this to seeing how they handle Kenny Omega, because I think that it's time for him to ascend to the top. I'm not the biggest fan of his, but I'm like, he's been coasting the past year, and I'm like, okay, now it's time to get that engine going, man.
Yeah,
time to see how he'll.
Yeah, Line Sting in the chat made a good point. You know, when I was talking before about how it's weird that you have these AEW ladies who are killing it on an AEW show every week. Technically, Serena is signed to an AEW contract. So I kind of forget that sometimes. Before she won the NWA title, they did sign her. So technically, even though she's an NWA champion, she is an AEW contracted talent. So Rosa is not, but Serena is. So we gotta remember that.
Well, look, it's not the weirdest thing we've ever seen. Remember Taz defending, going for the ECW championship against Mike Awesome, a WCW guy?
At an ECW show.
So you had a WWE guy versus a WCW guy for the ECW championship on an ECW show.
And that will never, ever happen again.
Yeah, we were a part of history. I have one question, though. How long do you think it'll be, and do you think it'll be possible that we will actually have the AEW champion versus the new Japan Pro Wrestling heavyweight champion on the same show?
No, not anytime soon, I don't think, no. And even if they do work something out, I think at best it's maybe like a talent exchange, guys go back and forth. What you're talking about is like a champion versus champion, like a dream match kind of thing. I don't know. I can't imagine that.
You could do that. I mean, you could do that, but what about like the AEW title being defended in New Japan, or the New Japan Pro Wrestling heavyweight title being defended on the AEW?
Yeah, that I can see.
You think that they have a better
on that? Yeah, all they have to do is, I mean, if they ever, and I think they will, I think if, and maybe even next year, if they get to a point where they can work out some kind of partnership similar to what AEW has now with the NWA, then yeah, I think at some point you'll see champions from one brand appearing on the other. I don't see why not. For a number of years there, on the Wrestle Kingdom card, you have the Ring of Honor champion on there defending the ROH title. So do I think we can ever get to a point where they have that kind of partnership together where you're seeing those kinds of matches? Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I have two more things, because I would really love to see the NWA heavyweight champion versus New Japan versus like a versus AEW, like a tri-branded thing. That would be cool someday.
It would be. Who wins, though?
I have.
That's the problem.
Well, of course, AEW is their show.
Well, you go ahead and you say that to the president of New Japan and you see what happens. That's not how those negotiations work.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's my show, so therefore my guy's going to win. That's the end of the partnership at that point. You've got to be able to negotiate these things. That's why these things are hard. If they were easy, then everybody would be working together.
That is true. And just two more things. I still find it strange, as I said in the chat, why is nobody taking a look at Tessa Blanchard? Like, nobody picked this girl up, and she's one of the best women's wrestlers out there. I know.
What does that tell you?
Bad attitude thing and everything.
What does that tell you? And I've said this before. The fact that this woman is as talented as she is and comes from a wrestling family, I think she's fourth generation, I believe. And the fact that WWE has not signed her, the fact that AEW, who employs one of her fathers, I mean, because, you know, Magnum TA also raised her growing up as well. But the fact that AEW has not signed her and WWE has not signed her, and they might, but she's been out there now available and free for how many months? That tells you something right there. And it's all about exactly what you just said. It's the stories that are out there about her and her attitude and things of that nature. It's not because she doesn't have talent, and I don't think it's because she doesn't want to sign with either one. I'm sure she'd love to. But that really speaks volumes that she is this free agent who's just been hanging out there. For all we know, she may have no choice. She may end up back in Impact before all is said and done. And that's really, really telling. It's very telling.
It makes you think that these stories are true, just like with Eva Lys. Like, Eva Lys is another one that's talented, but you already saw how unprofessional she is.
Well, look, there's been stories about her as well, but she is signed. She is now signed to AEW, and Tessa is not. And I don't know
Where is she?
She was actually there tonight. In fact, if you go on Eva Lys's Twitter, she was tweeting. Maybe it's possible that she and Diamante did something on Dark. She's not on TV every week, you're right, but she is officially signed with AEW, which is more than I can say for Tessa. And that would be very interesting if Tessa did come in, because she and Eva Lys have had their issues before. And I think that really is the problem. I think that she has either burned bridges with or had issues with enough people who spoke out about her. It's not like it's just fans, you know, batting around just a bunch of stories that may or may not be true. Part of the reason this blew up the way it did is because of people like Allison Kay and other women who spoke out and they shared all of these different stories. And these women work for these different promotions. How are these women going to feel if Tessa Blanchard comes in? Now, my guess is that they'll be professional and they'll have to just work together. But I think it says a lot that these companies and these promoters are not looking to kind of cause headaches behind the scenes. Is that why they haven't signed her? Are they afraid that it might cause unrest in the locker room? I don't know. I don't know what Tony Khan is thinking. I don't know what Vince McMahon or Triple H are thinking, but I know that you've got this woman who you can make a lot of money with. I said years ago, before all these stories blew up, I said one day we're going to get a WrestleMania main event. It's going to be Charlotte Flair against Tessa Blanchard. And it sells itself, the daughters of the horsemen. But their talent is enough where I think that could be a high-profile WrestleMania match. Now, I'm not so sure. I still think it can be, but I have no idea if it's ever going to happen. And it's entirely because they may not want to create problems in the locker room. She's made a lot of enemies.
That's true.
Just a fact. She made a lot of enemies.
That's true. And you know for a fact that Tully has tried hard to get her in there.
Well, we don't know that. I would assume, I would think he is, that maybe he's, but I don't know. I mean, we have no reason to believe that. Maybe he just wants her to kind of do her own thing, and he doesn't want to come off as if he's being pushy because it's his daughter. So I don't know. I don't know if Tully has said anything or not. I'm sure he would love to either work with her or see her come in and get the opportunity, but it's not his call to make. You know, ultimately, it's her career, and she's the one who's kind of put herself in this position. I mean, you had a lot of wrestlers speak out, so it's a bad situation for her to be in. I think if WWE were to have a giant gaping hole in their women's division, and they felt, boy, we really need a boost on Raw, we need a boost on SmackDown, they're desperate, then they might be willing to overlook all that stuff and give her a call and say, hey, you know, we'd like to bring you in. But They have so much talent stockpiled in that company. I don't think they're going to have a need to do that. I really don't.
Yeah, that's true. As long as they got shot at Ex Machina there, they'll never have a hole in that division.
Yeah.
Anyways, man, it's always good talking to you. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Absolutely. Always good to talk to you. Have a great Thanksgiving with lots of macaroni and cheese.
I hear that. You have a good night, man.
All right, you too. I'm going to be having turkey. I'm going to be having Pillsbury crescent rolls. And what else? What else are we going to do? We'll figure something out. I let my brother cook all that stuff. I eat. That's kind of the way the system we've worked out. He'll cook it. I'll eat it. I like that system. That system works well. You don't want me cooking it. I can cook eggs. I do eggs in the morning. That's great. That's easy enough to do. Can make soup. You don't want me getting into these big meals. I'm not like Food Hive. I can't put these magnificent meals together. Pedro dropped the super chat. Not to make this about WWE, but if it... let's see here. If Bitcoin hits 100,000, I will be looking to buy SmackDown and NXT from WWE. If I can pull it off, would you be interested in working with me to make wrestling explode again? See, I don't want the stress of running my own promotion and dealing with all that nonsense. I feel like it would give me gray hairs on my head. Life is too short. You have to be an absolutely batshit insane person to want to be a wrestling promoter and deal with all the different personalities and booking the shows, especially in the age of COVID now, right, where everything is just up in the air. I don't envy these people having to work around all of these restrictions and these conditions. I just feel like that's a headache I don't need. I'm needed here. That's what Bobby Heenan used to say. When Bobby Heenan was doing commentary, and Gorilla Monsoon would say, well, your guy's in there. Why don't you go down there and help him out? He goes, I'm needed here. That's my mantra. You guys need me here. What would you do without me? You need me here. This is where I am needed. This is where I spread my wings and I shine. Let's do one more. 810.
Hey, yo, Solid Monster.
What's up?
How's it going? Actually, I can't ask you that because I watched the stream last week and you're getting a little upset.
About what?
I just thought it was funny because you kept telling everyone to stop asking you how you were.
Oh,
and
yes.
Then literally every
yes.
single caller was,
well, because,
hey, how you doing? How you doing?
Well, it's because they don't know what else to say. I mean, I get it. Like, it's almost like when you're meeting somebody for
like
the first time and you put your hand out to shake their hand. And now it's like, oh, you can't shake hands. Like, it's just a habit.
Yeah.
So, I get it.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. But
how you doing?
Yeah. Oh, I'm fantastic. So, I did call earlier, but I actually forgot an important question that was on my mind. And I just thought about it, so I figured I'd give you another call.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly what match it was, but we have not seen Brody Lee in a very long time. So I'm just curious on where he's at or what's next for him and the Dark Order.
Well, Anna Jay is getting a women's title match next week. So we saw John Silver tonight really hyping that up.
Yep.
You know, this could be our next chance to bring gold back to the Dark Order because Brody Lee did once and now you can do the same. So we'll see if he's on the show next week, especially if she wins, which I wouldn't do that. But if she does and there's some big celebration and he's not there, then that's kind of weird. I haven't heard of any injury or anything like that, so I assume he's around. They just don't have anything for him at the moment. It's kind of like the Lance Archer thing. And maybe there's your answer. Just to answer that question from earlier, if they don't really have anything for Archer and they don't really have anything for Brody Lee, you know, again, two heels, but maybe there's something there. Two big guys who you can program together to have a program together. Maybe they try to recruit Lance Archer into the Dark Order. And Jake Roberts objects because he's my guy. Let me say it like him. He's my guy. He's my guy. So maybe he objects, and maybe that sparks something. You know, you're stepping over your bounds. He's my guy. He doesn't want to have anything to do with you. And they try to recruit him, and yeah, maybe there could be something there. But I don't know where he's been. As far as I know, he's been there. I don't know why he wouldn't be.
Do you think it's better to keep him off the show and not have him just?
Well, Christian says
what Arch is doing right now.
Christian says he injured his ankle. Someone find me that news update, because I am not aware of there being an ankle injury. I'm not saying that there isn't, but this is the first I'm hearing of it. So if he is hurt, then that would explain it. Says his last match, not that serious. Okay, so maybe he sprained his ankle, and maybe that's why he's been off TV the last few weeks. But
I feel like it's almost a better build-up to keep him off.
Yeah, I mean, look, if they don't have anything for him, you may as well keep him off. If they had plans for him, that's one thing. But if not, that's fine to kind of keep guys fresh by not putting them on the show every week. But it's when they're not on the show 3, 4, 5 weeks in a row, or they have nothing for you to do, like Archer, right? 3, 4, 5 weeks in a row. That's where
the thing that kind of throws me off. Go ahead. But
yeah, that gets ridiculous.
Go ahead. Yeah, it's just like with him, it's like he's on the show once every week or two, and it's just the same stuff. Like it kind of feels like it's being detrimental to who his character is at this point.
All right, so it looks like he made an appearance on the AEW Unrestricted podcast, and he mentioned that he's got an ankle injury. So all right, well, that makes sense. If it's not
that makes more sense.
Yeah, if it's not that serious, then that's probably why I didn't hear anything about it. If it was serious and he was having surgery, I think it would have been a big story. So I guess when he's all healed up, we'll see him back on TV, and maybe in a few weeks.
Absolutely. I got one last small question.
Sure.
I was just curious on who you think that they should recruit to the Dark Order to kind of make them more like a superior group, I guess. No one?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not really a big Dark Order. I'd have them kick Colt Cabana out.
I'm not either.
Yeah, kick him out, because he's the
weak. I like the whole beat.
Yeah, he's the weak link there. Get him out of there. And then maybe they can, again, they could try to recruit a Lance Archer. What was that?
More of a reputation to their group, I guess. But
what in the world was that? I thought I lost you there for a second.
You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Oh. That was I think you went into another dimension there for a second, but we got you back. That was strange.
As I was saying though, is I feel like I do enjoy the BTE skits a lot with Silver, Reynolds, and all them, but I feel like when it's on Dynamite, it's a little too much. So I was just thinking maybe if they were to add like a big or mean kind of character name, maybe that could, you know, back their reputation a little more, and so people actually take them serious. Because on Twitter, they're pretty much like clowns, as what everybody pretty much like tweets about them, and people don't like it.
It's I don't think
so.
People...
I was just thinking maybe if they bring someone in.
I don't think so. I don't think they need that. I don't think people take him too seriously as it is. But you know, you got Brody in there, and if they don't take it seriously with him, then who are you going to bring in? Again, to go back to what I said, try to recruit Lance Archer. They can make overtures to him. You can drag it out for a few weeks. He's not interested. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, you know, maybe things blow up between him and Brody, and that could be their next program. I don't see there being this other one person. I can't think of anybody who, boy, they should bring that guy in. That's going to change my opinion of the Dark Order. No. I think my opinion is pretty much...
That's a good opinion.
My mind is made up on the Dark Order.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But anyways, thank you, man. Appreciate the time. It's always a good time to, you know, listen to what your opinions and what you got to say about some stuff that I have questions on, so...
Cool. We'll call in again, and we'll talk again soon.
Awesome, man. Have a good Thanksgiving.
All right, you too. Got some good calls tonight. Always love good calls. Please join me live back here on YouTube again in less than 24 hours, 8 p.m. Eastern, tomorrow night. Although now it is midnight, so I guess technically later tonight. 8 p.m. Eastern, I will be going through the entire Survivor Series card, including the final farewell for The Undertaker. And we'll talk about all the match predictions. We might take more of your calls as well. Maybe we'll take some of your predictions as well. So join me then. And I think we're done here, guys. So thank you for all the Super Chat support. I'm glad we got that. The one, I think it was Rodimus with that, the new Super Chat. He triggered it tonight. Poor Vince McMahon. That's the Vince McMahon face when he has lost $100 million. Well, what are you going to do, right? He'll wipe his tears with the other $500 million that he's got in the bank. I don't cry for Vince McMahon. None of us should cry for Vince McMahon. There's a lot of people who are doing a lot worse, unfortunately, right now than Vince McMahon is. I'll see you guys tomorrow night, and I will see you as well for the podcast, episode 679, coming up this Sunday. Until then, take care, guys. Thank you, as always, for the support. Appreciate it. Take care.